Hi guys, my name's Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thanks for everyone doing service. I'm extremely nervous this morning. I've not done a share for a while, so I just want to center myself a little bit and set this aside. So please, God, help me set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and new experience. Please help me to see the truth about my disease, the big book, you. I will not be asked to be done. I have always been a compulsive overeater as long as I remember. The nerves are really kicking in this morning. I've been praying a lot. I come from a single parent household. My mum was one of us, but unfortunately never found recovery. And I always remember being a fat kid, and I went through sexual abuse, and my real dad never wanted me, and they kidnapped me, and there's a whole load of trauma and stuff there, and that just gave me a real fear and lack in my life. I remember my mum being really bad with money and us having no money to buy food and stuff, and my nan would come and bail us out and give us a couple of bags of shopping to help tide us over. And once I got sexually abused by a man, that really gave me my addiction the free rein, because my nan and my mum said, he's a broken kid, like, I'll just soothe him with food and we'll give him what he needs. And I remember my mum sitting on the sofa eating bags and bags of cheap treats, and that's how she used to use it as an escape. After I'd become abused, I'd put on a lot of weight and become a really fat and chubby teenager through school and stuff. Did loads of therapy and stuff through that. Went to like 11 different primary schools. I was always making best friends with the dinner ladies, and I stole food. I remember sitting on frozen packs of ham that we used to get hampers for Christmas, and eating it and having a bad tummy, and saying to my mum, oh, I don't know where it'd gone, and it was only me and her in the house. So I was about 18 stone most of my adult life, so about 250 pounds. And then I used alcohol and drugs for an escape. Thankfully, they never took hold like the foods did, but food was always my best friend and got me through a lot of times, a lot of mental breakdowns, a lot of trauma. It got me through a lot. So I'm grateful to the food in some aspects, but I'm not grateful for this disease at this point in my story. I become a qualified chef, shock horror. So I worked in lots of bars and restaurants, and made best friends with all of the guys and got so much food that, it was just impossible to maintain any like kind of weight loss. And then 2014, 2015, I used to work for TGI Fridays in Leicester Square, and I'd had enough after about 10 years of working in different stores around the country, and I flew to Spain to work as a holiday rep. Running from my problems, really. I was in a lot of debt when I went over there, and my granddad died a couple of days before I'd gone out. I was never really close with him. I couldn't be gay in front of him. I got told if my granddad knew I was gay, it would kill him. And I was so ashamed of being gay because I thought my sexual abuser made me gay, and I never wanted to be gay. Strange, but today I accept who I am. Anyway, in 2014, I went to be a holiday rep, and whilst I was there, I became extremely manic, used Red Bull to the excess, drank 48 cans within a couple of days, and I'd lost my passport, my phone, quit my job out of there, and I got put into a Spanish asylum type hospital. I was so manic I couldn't do it, talk anything audible. I was put into like a police cell for a while, and then put into that Spanish asylum hospital, and it took 4 5 months for my mum to get the British consulate to get my emergency passport to come home. I finally got home in 2015 and was put into a mental hospital here, and then got diagnosed with bipolar, which I'd had for many years but never got the diagnosis. Manic highs, thinking I'd won the lottery, and then lowest of lows, wanting to top myself. And I have tried to commit suicide throughout my journey. Not in OA, but in life, I'm talking. So in 2015, it was the worst time of my life, and I put on 10 stone in that year. There's about £14 to a stone. I'm not sure of the math there. I'm not great with that. And I wanted to die. I thought that was it. I thought that was my bottom. And I'd first heard about OA in 2017, come to a meeting, got some identification, and was like, oh my God, these people do what I do. I heard the word God and I was off. I was like, no, this isn't for me. I think it's a cult or whatever that my head was telling me. And then I was really desperate in 2020 in COVID, and I come into the rooms, and I was at 28 stone 12, which is £404, and I thought that was my top weight. My life was so unmanageable. I had the chub rub, the fat smell, blood blisters in between my legs. My belly stuck out of my shirt, the clothes didn't fit. I used to sit down to pee because my knees were aching, the back pain, the profusely sweating. I know I'm sweating now, but I've turned my fans off so it doesn't sound like I'm in a wind tunnel talking to you guys. It's really hot in the UK at the moment, and I just wanted to die. And I had a bit of recovery. I got to step three. It took 7 months to get to step three with that sponsor. And there's many different ways to work the steps, because I think there's many different people in OA. So there's many different views and ways up the mountain, but the view from the top's all the same. And I think we all learn and develop differently. So that didn't work for me, and I'd relapsed. And then I went up to 32 stone nine, £464, and I never thought I would get that big. I remember my mum being 32 stone when I was younger, and said, I'll never get that big. That's never going to be me. How could you let yourself get that big? But I just couldn't bloody stop eating. I just couldn't stop trying to soothe with food. And the food stopped working after you've been in OA for a while and you learn what you learn. I mean, your relapse doesn't have to be part of your story, but it is part of mine. And yeah, my life was truly unmanageable. Really, really was
Gentle
unmanageable.
reminder, 13 minutes.
Thank you so much, lovely. Yeah, so I've tried so many different things to lose weight, the weight loss clubs, pills, potions, tablets you can get offline, everything I tried, Atkins, you name it, I tried it. And I then found my gorgeous sponsor, who I love beyond words, and she is someone that I trust immensely, and I have a lot of trust issues. I worked the steps a couple of times and slipped, tripped, and falled. Step one, I really admit that I was powerless over food. There's only two doors for me as a real compulsive overeater. I ever go into the insanity gates and death and eat myself to death, having carers wipe my bed sores, or I wipe my program, like my hair's on fire, to get a connection with my higher power. And I'm so grateful today for this program and for the life it's given me. And I remember the thing when that used to the one tagline that used to keep me coming back to meeting after meeting as a life beyond my wildest dreams. I really wanted a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I had a really jaded view of the God situation. My nan was religious, but my mum wasn't. And I remember standing at a bus stop saying to my mum, "Is there a God?" And she said, "Mark, if there's a God, why would there be so much sexual abuse? World disasters. People dying of horrible deaths, murderers, and things like that." And I took that for gospel and believed that was truth. And I held on to that all throughout my life, and it wasn't until I come to program, and I'd asked a lot of fellows for a lot of outreach, and the general thing was, God never takes away free will because we would be robotic, and those people are spiritually sick. I was terrified of doing step four, but step four was such a freeing process, in terms of getting all of it down on paper, what I was resentful at, but the common denominator in all of that was me, step five, admit to another person. Oh my God, my head's gone blank. Oh, entirely. No, where am I? Oh, admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. I do video calls with my sponsor, and I held my book up over my face because I didn't want to share some of the things I did, but all I got was acceptance and understanding. And in step six, being entirely ready to remove my defects of character. I didn't want to get rid of my gossiping. I was a drama queen. I loved to gossip. I always wanted to, be the know-all of everything. And actually, I realized today that God leaves me with some defects so that, he'll teach me lessons like my perfectionism. Step nine was a really freeing process doing my amends. I was terrified of doing that. Sorry, I know I'm skipping some of the steps, but I can see my time. I'm like, oh, but the steps are in order for a reason, in order for a reason. And I made my amends to some people, and some people didn't accept my amends, but that's not on me. I've done my part. That's all I can do. But we're not allowed to hurt others. And love and tolerance is our code. And I always run every amends past my sponsor if I need to make one. And I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. I do my step 10s as and when they come up, and I send them to my sponsor. Every time I've worked the steps, I've done them three times now with my same sponsor, and I've relapsed, slipped, and tripped over the times. And I, thanks to this program, I've put down, it's been a gradual process for me. I put down the sugar first and my red foods. My sponsor said, put down what's killing you first. And then I had a massive diet soda addiction, drinking like 4 to 5 2-liter bottles a day of this particular diet soda, and the diet clubs taught me that I can have that because it's no calories or whatever. And that was really hard to put down. But I put that down. I put down sweetener, artificial sweeteners. I put down cigarettes. I'm almost 2 years clean of that. And I never thought that was possible. I'd smoked since I was 13, and I was 40 a day plus smoker. And I'm probably about a month or 2 months off 2 years, and that's thanks to my higher power in this program. I could not do this. I could not do this on my own. This program has saved my life. I'm probably about 120, maybe £130 down, and I know the program. It's not about the weight. It's about the program. If I work the program, I'll lose the weight, and if I So I've just mugged that up. So if you focus on the program, you'll lose the weight. And if you focus on the weight, you'll lose the program. And that's absolutely been my experience. I've tried to calorie count and manipulate it, and I can't. I just need to work with rigorous honesty, have the open-mindedness, the willingness, and the honesty of the, and that's how I need to work my program. I've got freedom from food obsession, which is a miracle. The amount of times that I used to, think about food. I used to do this thing going on to like delivery services, put everything I want into a basket, like £300, £400 worth, and fantasize about these binges. I'm grateful I couldn't afford all those binges today because I would be dead. And I had a friend visit a couple of weeks ago, and my trigger foods were in a basket in the lounge, like all of my trigger foods, pretty much all of the sugar-filled treats, and
Gentle
not one of them.
reminder, 7 minutes.
Thank you, my darling. Yeah, and not one of them called to me. I can serve the things you serve for birthdays now, and it's just not my food because I know for me that is poison. For me to eat that is for me to die. I've eaten my fair share of that. If I'm allergic to cats, I wouldn't go and stroke a cat. My head wouldn't say to me, oh, go and stroke that cat, because it knows the reaction I have. But my disease, this is the only disease that tells you that you're all right and you haven't got the disease. That's for me. Sorry, I should say for me. It'll try and convince me any way it can to say that I'm fine, I haven't got the disease. Or maybe now, after 8 months being absent, I can eat a piece of whatever and I'll be fine with it. And I'm not a normal eater. I'm a gutter bottom compulsive overeater that will use anything he can to soothe, whether that be, money or drugs, alcohol, food, social media, shopping, whatever that may be. I'll use it to try and soothe, because my unmanageable life is the problem. Food isn't the problem, it's my unmanageable life. And it took me a long time to see that. I had a really complicated relationship with my mum. She had a lot of mental health problems as well. Lost a couple of kids that by dying, I meant they'd passed away before I was around, though. And we was I loved her to pieces. I cared for her for most of her life. And she died of a heart attack in 2021, at the age of 54. But the beauty of this program, I got to make an amends to my mum, and I got to see that she did the best she possibly could raising me with what she had, having gone through the experience she went through. You know, she went through sexual abuse, couldn't talk for the first few years of her life. And for me to truly feel that in my heart, that she did the best she could, I was so resentful and I hated her at points for so much. I remember mum telling me I've got, you know, 5 years to live with her health conditions, and I got myself in so much debt and took her on a cruise, and because she couldn't fly over Cliff Palliet. But she was just a sick cookie. Like, she was just a really sick cookie, and she didn't want to lose me. And today I am at peace with my mum, and this program literally changed my life. I look through a whole new set of glasses, and it's a lot. I mean, we could talk about it for hours, and I don't have that much time, but it's a lot to be able to actually feel, oh my God, she did the best she possibly could. I couldn't have done any better. She did a great job of raising me. Like, hats off to her. That's one of the most beautiful things of recovery for me, to be able to see that. I've exited some toxic people from my life that were really no good for me. That was tough, but that, you know, thanks to this program, I'm able to see more clearly and have clarity. I'm not perfect, you know. We're always going to work towards spiritual perfection, but never get there because we'll never rise above the level of being a human being. And I know that. And I can spend my entire life trying to figure out what God is, you know, what it looks like for me. I want the bright light spiritual experience. It's never going to happen for me. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Not that it's never going to happen. I just don't think that's realistic for me. But I know there's a power greater than myself. You know, I always love using the ocean is a body of water, but that power inside that, in that ocean, you know, that creates the waves. It can. We all need water to survive, so it saves a life, and it can take a life if you don't respect it. And that is a power greater than me. You know, the trees in my garden. I don't know how it works, but it does. I put my phone charger into the plug, and just, you know, expect it to work. That's the same kind of thing with my higher power. You know, God's a gentleman. He only comes in if you're invited. If he's invited, sorry. So I just have to take the action and, you know, show up every day, whether I want to do it or not, do my routine, do my, you know, work the tools, come to meetings, and yeah, just try and do God's will for me. What would God have me be? What would God have me do? And I always check in with my sponsor, and I get so much through journaling as well. I feel like this chair's gone all over the place. This is not how I planned it at all. But yeah, I am so grateful for the gifts of recovery. And I maybe have said before in the meeting, but you know, just my house plants. I love them. I've got 20 house plants now that I bought most of them on my birthday last year. And just to look at them and watch them grow. And I've just grown strawberries for the first time in my garden. I was so excited when my first strawberry came. I was like, wow, look. And I couldn't have given two hoots about strawberries or flowers before. I was so sick in my disease, so sick that I just couldn't see or think anything about apart from myself. And I thought everything in the world, it was all happening to me. It's all against me. Everyone's against Mark, but it's not, you know. I'm just another bozo on the bus. You know, it is what it is. What can I do about it? You know, we are where we are. What's the next right action? I've got a program that work that I can work, you know, that I can use to help me get through life. You know, I was under the false illusion that once I'd worked the steps, life would become Disneyland and I'd be like a guru. And it's not, you know, life still happens. Things still happen in life, but I don't need to use food today. Life is tough at times, but you know, a day in recovery is so much better than any day in the food. You know, the amount of times I said I'm never binging again, and I'd pass a lie detector test that morning because I never would binge again. But, you know, a day or two ago by, and boom, I'll be back in the food. And just before I come back into recovery this time, I tried the weight loss injections off of a friend that we got off of social media that I have no idea what it was in a vial. And just the insanity of me injecting this stuff, thinking that it's going to be different. And that's when I hit my bottom again and come back into program, and I've
One
been on
minute, Mark.
8 months. Thank you so much, my lovely. Yeah, I hope I've said something that helps somebody in this program, in this rooms today. And I'm sorry the chair's been all over the place. I'm extremely nervous. My nana used to say, if you're nervous, it means you care. And if nobody's told you today, you're loved, you're enough, you're worthy, and this program is worth doing, you're worth it. No, it does work if you work it. And I'm not a great, well, I'm a little bit mental, but I'm medicated, but I'm not, it's, then everyone's not wrong. You know, it does work and it's worth it. If you're struggling, just keep coming back one day at a time. Don't leave before the miracle happens, because it does, it will happen for you. Just have the faith, and the disease is strong, but you know, the fellowship is stronger. We don't have to do it alone. Together, we do get better. There's not one person you'll talk to that will tell you to go and do one. They will talk to you, they will listen, they can understand you because you're my tribe. I love you all so very much. Thank you for listening to me. I hope something made sense, and that's my time. Take care.